Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
70 years ago this week, Hindu-majority India gained its independence from Britain. The day before, Pakistan, the Muslim-majority state created by the retreating British, declared its independence. But independence for both came at a terrible price. Some 15 million people fled to either side during partition, and by some estimates, over a million people were killed in the violence that erupted. Want to learn more? Well, we wanted to look at partition through the prism of books, the literature that came from the divide. NPR's Asia editor, Nishant Tahiya, who's of Indian descent, has a list. Nishant, thanks for doing this.
You're welcome.
Because this is fascinating, an incredibly powerful time. Just before we get to the books, remind us this moment in time, what it means to people in Pakistan and India.
It is sort of the defining moment of modern South Asia. You know, the division of India into two countries, but Pakistan, let's not forget, when it was divided, was originally East and West Pakistan. East Pakistan later on became the country of Bangladesh. And between them lay this huge state of India. And whenever you read a book, for example, say out of Europe, or a movie, and it says it has a deep, dark secret at its heart, you know that the deep, dark secret goes somehow, it goes all the way back to World War II.
Right.
Partition and independence for these countries is very much that kind of seminal moment.
It's their World War II. Tragic, you remind us, the photographer Margaret Bourke White, who shot some of the defining moments of the Holocaust in World War II, said what about India?
She had arrived, so World War II ended in 45 and partition happened in 47. So right after the end of World War II, she arrived in India. You saw these huge migrations of Hindus and Sikhs moving towards India and Muslims towards Pakistan. And she chronicled this and she said that some of the savageries she saw compared with some of the things she had seen,
they were as bad as the Holocaust.
As in the Holocaust.
Yeah. So how is this captured through literature? We'll have the list of all your books at hereandnow.org, but start with one.
I chose five books. Four of them are fiction, one nonfiction. Let's start with the nonfiction one. It's a great primer on independence. It's called Midnight's Furies. It's by the journalist Nisad Hajjari. And it's a really easy, accessible book. It's only just over 250 pages long. And it's got these great character sketches, which I thought were astounding, especially of India's first Prime Minister, Jawaharlal Nehru. But most importantly, of the man who in Pakistan is regarded as the father of the nation, Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And the book really portrays the obstinacy of Jinnah, but also how poisonous the relationship between Nehru and Jinnah was, which then led the British to believe that these two people really, they just can't live with each other. And so the best thing to do for South Asia is to actually draw a line.
Kind of incredible. So that's a great primer with, it sounds like, a lot of humanity in it, a lot of, you know, as you said, character sketches. The fiction books.
The first one I want to mention is probably the one that's the most famous, and that's Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie. Mm. You know, Salman Rushdie, for anybody who's read him, knows he's a magical realist. It's got this fabulous, hallucinatory style.
And a magical idea. It's about the first, 1,000 children born post-partition.
That's right. The 1,001 children born in India. And because he's Salman Rushdie, he gives each one of them a magical power. Through these characters, you learn both the history of India post-partition, but also how partition came to be and the events that led up to it. And it's just a great yarn and one of the great novels of the last century, and it's must reading for everybody.
Okay, Midnight's Children. Must reading. Yeah, so that there, some ears went up. Midnight's Children by Salman Rushdie. Next, another piece of fiction from someone who's well-known in India, a journalist who wrote a column and would skewer Delhi's elite. The column was called Malice Towards One and All. What's the book?
The book is called Train to Pakistan. And the symbolism of trains in the story of partition is very important. You have these huge populations migrating. By some estimates, 15 million Hindus, Sikhs, and Muslims migrated, making it the largest migration in human history. Hmm. And many of them crossed on foot in these large caravans, but many of them also crossed on trains. And what would happen was that mobs would attack these trains, or militias would attack these trains. And so the trains would arrive in India or in Pakistan with everybody on them butchered and murdered.
You know, that was real.
That happened. And so he uses that as basically the set piece for his book, which is, you know, a fictional village It's right on the border between India and Pakistan. Sikhs and Muslims have lived there in peace for centuries. But then to see one of these trains pass through their village and it breaks them and it just completely shatters the village and shatters the peace out there.
Oh, man. I mean, we're reminded this was such a traumatic event.
For that part of the world, incredibly.
Okay. You have two books now for us. Which are these?
They're both by Pakistani writers. The first one is by what many people consider to be South Asia's Chekhov. He was a writer of short stories, immensely talented, gifted, powerful short story writer. His name is Sadat Hasan Manto. He grew up in India. You know, he spent most of his life in India. He wrote screenplays for what was then, you know, the very nascent Bollywood. But then he eventually left and he spent the last few years of his life in Pakistan. He was penniless. He died of alcoholism at the age of 42. He was very young. So you never know what he could have actually gone on to achieve. But his stories capture the absurdity of partition, the cruelty of partition, the madness of partition. And many of them revolve around the events of partition.
So is it true, for instance, he writes about how absurd it got in many ways, that the books were divided in the libraries? Is that true?
Everything was divided, including down to the last paperclip between the governments of India and Pakistan. And his most famous story, Toba Tek Singh, it's set essentially in a mental asylum. And the bureaucrats between India and Pakistan decide that, well, since we've exchanged everything, that the Hindus in the asylum should go to India and the Muslims in the asylum should go to Pakistan. So why don't we, you know, separate these two? And these people don't know where they are, don't know who they are anyway. And so, you know, the story is really about the absurdity and the madness of partition.
It sounds like a South Asian One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Except that it's only about 5 pages long.
Okay. Well, again, we'll have the list at herenow.org, but I know there's one last one that you want to talk about.
This is the one I read most recently and perhaps one of my favorite of all of these books. It's called Basti, which literally means a settlement or a place to stay. It's by the Pakistani writer Intisar Hussain. And it's a novel that moves very much, it moves back and forth in time. It's set before partition, during partition, and then during the events of 1971 when India and Pakistan fought a war that created the state of Bangladesh. The main character, Zakir, he grows up in India, becomes a university lecturer there. Then his family flees to Pakistan at the time of partition. But as a young man in India, he falls for his cousin. And really, it's a love story, or a love story that never quite happens, because she stays in India and his family moves to Pakistan and they can just never connect after that. And even though she fades away from his memories over the years, the fact that the author chooses to leave them both unmarried, I think is very poignant.
Yeah. Well, Romeo and Juliet writ large, but also the two countries were separated, you know, two countries and two people separated. Nishan Tahiya, just very briefly, as you read these books, some of them, you know, Salman Rushdie goes back to 1980, some new.
Many of these were written in the 50s,
right
after partition.
Yeah, so, I mean, they go back further. And how do you read them now? You're young, too. I mean, is this reflecting on something your grandparents might have told you about? Or
I heard stories of partition growing up, but reading them today in 2017, or rereading some of these today in 2017, the thing that struck me was how much it is like the world we're living in today with the global refugee crisis. You see all these stories of people leaving everything they knew, uprooting themselves, marching in many cases thousands of miles away to find new homes and new lives. There are lives they've left behind, there are people they've left behind, and places and memories that they'll probably never see again. When you talk to partition survivors, the longing for what they've lost is so immense and powerful.
Still,
even today, 70 years later, the friends that they had that they've lost. These are some of these stories are really, really hard to read. They're incredibly powerful. Some of them are incredibly violent, incredibly graphic in how they depict that violence. But they ring true.
Yeah. NPR Asia editor Nishan Tahiya. Again, his list is at herenow.org. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Incredible piece of history. Quick note now, later today on All Things Considered, legal battles over racial and partisan gerrymandering are intensifying, and mathematicians think they can help. Specialists in geometry are training their colleagues to become expert witnesses in redistricting cases. That's later today, ATC.